If you'd like to follow along, we're in Genesis chapter 28 in our Bible study. We've been on this series, The Faith of Our Fathers. And the whole premise is they were people just like us, but their faith in God shaped their lives. And we are no different. If we'll place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, He will shape our lives. Now tonight, we're in the story of Jacob. And it's probably considered one of the highlights of the story of Jacob. And that's the story of Jacob's ladder, Genesis 28, Jacob's ladder. Tonight I want to speak about Jacob's ladder, our link. Jacob's ladder, our link. From the time that we were children in Sunday school, I just had a text come through here. Brother Brian needs to meet with the youth after service in the middle room. Okay, speaking of youth, when we were young, that's probably one of the stories we remember most from Sunday school was the story of Jacob's ladder. In fact, I think it's a story that kind of mesmerized us. I mean, there's just that supernatural element out there in the desert. And I probably should speak for myself, but I would like to say tonight, though we've heard the story many times and contemplated it, I don't think we really get what's taking place there with Jacob's ladder. I don't think we really get what it means. Now, some of you will remember that old spiritual, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder." But for those that get tired of the same 10 songs on that Pandora channel, I thought we would play a little bit just for them in case they never heard it. Do we have that ready? This is "I'm Climbing Jacob's Ladder."
Jacob's ladder, we are climbing. Jacob's ladder, we are climbing. Jacob's ladder, soldier of the cross. Every round goes higher.
Okay, thank you. Now my question is that what we're supposed to do with Jacob's ladder? Is that what Jacob's ladder is about, is climbing Jacob's ladder? So the question tonight is, what does Jacob's ladder mean to us? In fact, I want to ask a deeper question. What does Jacob's ladder mean to you tonight? And what if I told you that Jacob wasn't the only one to have a ladder? What if I told you that each one of us could have a ladder? Let's look at a few scriptures before I tell the story. And for those of you that are new to our Wednesday night format for this series, I read a few verses, I tell the story, I draw quickly some truths from that, and then I give us a take home, something to take home. So here's our text this evening, Genesis 28, verse 10. "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows." He didn't plan very well for that trip if he had to use a stone for a pillow. But he lay down in that place to sleep. "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord," or Jehovah, "stood above it and said, I am Jehovah God, Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." You know, the last time we were in the story of Jacob, we heard of his dastardly deed of stealing Esau's blessing from his father Isaac. You know, he did it through deceit and lying and treachery, and, you know, made the goat out as venison and put the goat skins on so he'd be hairy like Esau. And we're not going to retell that, but you'll remember how that story ends. It ends with Esau coming in and beginning to sob and weep and cry. The big man of the field, the he-man, the jock, if you will. He's weeping and he's crying because he's lost his blessing. But it wasn't long until Esau's sobs and crying turned into anger, and his anger turned into hatred. And by the way, that's how those things go. Disappointment turns into frustration, turns into anger, turns into bitterness, turns into hatred. And he has this hatred in his heart. And at first, because the Bible says it's in his heart, so at first he's just saying it to himself. But at some point, he begins to speak it out loud because it gets back to mama. But the Bible says Esau begins to say in his heart, "You just wait till dad is dead." He's comforting himself. He's trying to assuage the turmoil of his heart. And he says, "You just wait till dad dies. As soon as we get dad in the grave, as soon as dad's buried, I'm going to kill Jacob." His brother. Well, the words get back to Rebekah, and Rebekah calls Jacob in and says, "Listen, son, Esau's trying to comfort himself for his loss by vowing to himself that he will kill you. Listen, son, Jacob, you got to get out of here. You got to get out of town. Run. Go way up north to where my brother, your uncle Laban, lives and stay there." And listen to her words. Never were there untruer words. She said, "Stay there a few days." Those few days turned into decades. She said, "Stay there a few days until your brother cools down, and he'll forget how you cheated him out of the blessing, out of the inheritance. And when it's all over, when he's cooled down, I'll send for you and you can come home. But if you don't leave, he's going to kill you. So run, flee, hide, because if you don't go and he kills you, I'm going to lose both of you. You'll be dead and he'll be in hiding." Now, listen to what Rebekah does. She's still at her trickery. She says, "I'm going to take care of this with dad, with your dad." She said, "I'll fix it with him." And so she goes to Isaac, and she begins to manipulate him like she's done before, but she's trying to get Isaac to think it's his idea to send Jacob away before he finds out what's truly going on. And she uses a legitimate reason. Now, listen, we didn't cover this, but Esau, being the man of the field and uninterested in spiritual things, when he got ready to get married, he didn't look for a wife of his faith. He went out and found some women of the land, some pagan women, some heathen women, some Hittite, Canaanites, and he marries them. And the Bible says they were a grief to, I'm just realizing maybe this isn't the best message for this week, but these two daughter-in-laws, the Bible says, became a grief to Isaac and Rebekah. They were incompatible. They were from a different culture. And so what Rebekah tells Esau, she says, "Listen, we got to get Jacob out of here. He's 40 years old. He's wanting to get married too. We got to get him out of here before he marries one of these heathen girls like Esau did. We got to get him somewhere where he can find someone of his own culture and lifestyle." So Isaac thinks this is his idea, and he calls Jacob in and says, "Jacob, we don't want you to marry one of those heathen girls. What we want you to do is go up north and marry one of your cousins." That's what he said. And then Isaac did a very important thing. He reiterated God's blessing upon Jacob. But more importantly, if you read the scripture, we did read it tonight, but Isaac said, "Abraham's blessing is going to be upon you, Jacob." Let me briefly explain, so this will mean, and we lay out quite a bit of material here, but it'll mean a whole lot when we get to these truths. The blessing of Abraham that God gave him included three things. Number one, land, all the land. Number two, descendants, and a whole lot of them. And number three, the fact that not only would Abraham be blessed, but he would bless many other people. And now, and this is why, and I can't go into it again, but this is why Esau should never have contempt for the blessing, because it wasn't just about the inheritance, the money and the flocks. It was about the blessing of Abraham. And now Isaac is conferring this blessing of Abraham upon Jacob and sends him away. Now, Esau has wandered here and there, but Jacob's never been away from home, the Bible says. He stuck real close to mama's tent. Now he's setting off on a journey of around 500 miles, and he didn't fly, and he didn't take the bus. He's walking. I don't know if he had an animal to assist him, and it wasn't over hospitable ground, and the roads weren't good. Most of it was through the desert. And he sets off from the oasis of Beersheba, where they had their tents pitched, and he went through this desert climb, and about 2 or 3 days into his travel, as the sun was setting, he's in a peculiar place. There's no civilization around. There's no motel, if there'd been one. There's nothing. He's out in the wilderness, and the sun's disappearing. He's got to camp there for the night. And so he begins to settle down and way out there in nowhere. In Oklahoma, we would call it way out in the boondocks. I don't know if you've ever heard that around here. But he was way out in the boondocks. Now, you got to understand something. This wasn't like a camp out at Houston Woods. This was dangerous. Wild animals, probably no water, thieves roaming around, mercenaries traveling around. Very dangerous. And so he settles down and doesn't have a pillow, so he pulls up a rock and he's staring at the stars and listening to the distant howling of the hyenas, and he falls asleep. And after he fell asleep, he saw a ladder, probably by indication, a ladder that came out of the stone and went up, 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 up into the heavens. And as he looked at that ladder, he saw that the angels were, first of all, the Bible says they were ascending and descending. But he looked a little higher, and above the traffic of the angels, he saw Jehovah God, the brightness of God. Now, I'm going to stop here. And again, I'm taking the time to share this story so these things can mean something. Words are funny things. They really are. I'm not going to take the time to give you instance after instance where words have changed in our thinking. But most of us, when we think of a ladder, we think of two parallel boards with rungs in between them, right? But both in the Hebrew and the Old English for ladder, which comes from German, ladder isn't always that kind of structure. Ladder sometimes just means staircase, stairs. And one of the reasons I believe that he actually saw stairs is because angels are ascending and descending. And ladders are usually for the traffic of one, not this parallel traffic of going up and down. But beyond that, you got to remember something. Let me show you something from Abraham's time. This was a temple. Okay? You may or may not know this. This is called a ziggurat or ziggurat. It's what they call these. But notice it's in stair steps. You say, what's so important about this? How many remembers this little thing called the Tower of Babel? The Tower of Babel would have looked like this. And what was man trying to do? What was he trying to do at the Tower of Babel? He said, I am going to build up to God. Something man could never do, but in the pride of his heart, he said, I'm going to build a tower to God. But I'm going to point out two things. Listen, what man could not do from his level, build a tower to God. Man didn't do it, couldn't do it. What man couldn't do, God did from the other direction. He sent the tower from heaven to earth. It's always been that way. And it'll be that way in our individual experience. We can't get to God. So he's extended the stairwell to us. And so no doubt, Jacob saw something of this structure in the angels ascending and descending. Now God spoke to him in that dream, and he said, I am the God of your grandfather Abraham. I'm the God of your father Isaac. I'm going to give you this land. Remember the three things of the blessing? I'm going to give you uncountable descendants, and I will make you a blessing to the world. That's what I'm going to ultimately do for you. But listen, listen, Jacob, God says, what I'm going to do for you right now is I'm going with you on this trip. It's been so used that I'm almost repulsed by it and reluctant to use it, but everything's about a journey, journey now, journey. And I have things to say about that negatively. I'm not going to say, but the truth of the matter is Jacob was on a journey, and a long one. And the journey wasn't just from Beersheba to Haran. The journey was from Jacob the deceiver to Israel the prince of God, from what Jacob was in treachery and defilement of character to what God wanted to make him. That's the journey that Jacob was on. And God speaks to him in that vision and says, listen, Jacob, I'm going with you on this journey. That's important tonight. I'm going with you every step of the way. And God said, Jacob, I'm not going to leave you till I have fulfilled my plan for your life. And I'm not going to leave you till I've taken you to Haran and I've brought you back home. And I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Does anyone hear a promise to your own heart from God's promise to Jacob? Now listen. there's some folks, you know, they talk all the time about God, how God talked to them. They had a vision. They had a dream. And often when they share it, they're kind of light and they're kind of frivolous and like it's just an everyday. I want to tell you something. I don't think God's spoken to him because I read the Bible. What happened when God spoke to Jacob, even in a dream? The Bible says Jacob was filled with fear. It's a dreadful thing to hear from the Lord. It's an all-filled thing. It's a wonderful thing, but it's filled with dread. I don't think Jacob went to sleep the rest of the night. I think he lay there and his mind went over and over of what God had said to him. But when the sun began to rise, Jacob took that stone that he was using for a pillow, and he stood upright and he braced it with other stones, and he poured out oil on it as a memorial that from this place to God himself, amen, there was a connection. And I've just set this rock up here as a memory of that connection from right here to God. And you know, it's significant that he poured oil on it. You know, they anointed everything in the Old Testament. But the thing is, that was precious. He could have sold that for supplies on his journey. Or he could have used it as part of his food. And yet there in the desert with very little, he makes a sacrifice to God upon that memorial. Because God has visited him. And God has made a connection between himself and Jacob. And then Jacob makes this vow, and he says, if Jehovah, as he said, goes with me and he keeps me on this journey, if he gives me food and clothing, if he brings me back to my father's house in peace, then Jehovah will be my God. I believe I've got this wrong, and many others do too. They think that Jacob is bargaining with God and trying to make some kind of deal with God and say, God, if you do this for me, then I'm going to make you my God. I don't think that's what Jacob's saying at all. He's filled with dread and awe, and he's just seeing God. I think what he's saying is, God, if you'll do these things as you said you would and you bring back, then you will have proved that you are my God. It's not that I'm working out a wager here, but God, if you do these things, it's going to be seen clearly that you are my God. And then Jacob said, and if you'll do those things, the way I'm going to acknowledge that you're my God is I'm going to give you a tenth of everything I have. Now let's go really quickly through these truths tonight. First of all, here's the first truth. God can bring about good even when evil has been done. Listen to this. Jacob, through treachery, got that birthright and blessing. How many knows Jacob was wrong? Esau was wrong. His hatred was wrong. Rebekah's scheming and manipulation, Rebekah was wrong. Isaac, his short-sighted carnality, more interested in venison than the blessings of God. Amen. Isaac was wrong. Wrong all through that family. Esau married those he shouldn't have married. And yet, in fact, despite all of those folks doing wrong, God even use that to work good, because if all that deceit and wrong hadn't happened, Jacob wouldn't have ended up in Haran and got the wife that God wanted to give him to produce the 12 sons, amen, to populate this nation of Israel. And so even though when people were, now this is no justification for evil, it's just saying even when evil is being done, God knows how to work his plan and bring good out of that. That's the truth. And I'm going to tack this onto it. God even knows how to work his plan in dysfunctional families. I mean, these women are eavesdroppers. Sarah eavesdrops on Abraham. Rebecca eavesdrops on Isaac. They're eavesdroppers. They're liars. Abraham lies. Isaac lies. Amen. They're carnal. Esau's carnal. Jacob's a deceiver. They've got trouble in the family. The parents play favorites. Isaac loves Esau. And Rebecca loves Jacob. I mean, in every sense of the word, there's tension. There's fighting. There's dysfunctional in his family. And that's not to justify the dysfunction of families. It's just to give hope. Amen. The family may be dysfunctional, but God still knows how to get a hold of individuals and work his plan and bring about his plan in their lives. Second truth tonight, God is gracious even to those who mess up. It would have served Jacob right if God had have left him out in the middle of that desert and left him alone to make that trek of 500 miles. It would have served Jacob right. Instead, God showed up and said, I'm going with you. How many knows it would have served us right if God just had left us But aren't you glad he showed up and said, I'm going to make the journey with you? Here's another truth we take from our story. God must and does take the initiative. Jacob would have never understood or realized that God was with him. And in my haste to tell the story, I didn't even tell that part. But on that morning when Jacob stood up that stone as a memorial, he said, surely God was in this place, and I knew it not. You know, we understand because we got the Bible that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But Jacob didn't really realize that, didn't really register. But he did realize something. God had been there, but he said, I knew it not. You know what Jacob's really saying? He was really saying, on my own, I can never know God. If God doesn't take the initiative, I'm not going to know him. I'm not going to come to an understanding of him. God had to take the initiative so I could be known. He could be known to me. And I want to tell you, nothing has changed. And I wish I had an hour to preach right here, and I don't. But I'm telling you, God has taken the initiative. We have that book right there. We have Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh and dwelt among. And we have the Holy Spirit that makes it all. Aren't you glad God has taken the initiative? I want to tell you, you may be in a place, it seems that God is nowhere around. But I'm telling you, right there in that place, God is able to make himself known to you. Another truth, God must personally become our God. See, God was the God of Abraham, and God was the God of Isaac, even by God's declaration. But what's happening in our story and beyond? God is making sure that he's not just the God of grandpa and dad. He's making sure Jacob comes to the place that he can say, and he's my God too. It's a great thing when your parents serve and live for God. But I want to tell you what God wants to do. He wants to become your God, personally, individually. Oh, there's so much to be said. Don't have time. Last truth to take from our story tonight. If God is our God, we will show he has ownership of our lives. Some folks say, you know, we don't need to tithe. That was a part of the law. This is pre-law. I'm not going to preach on tithing tonight. Brother Norvell will be perking up about now. He'd always ask me, what are you going to preach on tonight? Tithing offerings. This is pre-law. You see, tithing is not a matter of law. Tithing's a matter of worship. And from the very beginning, tithing isn't, well, God, I've got all this, but you know, I'm going to give you your 10%. Tithing was always, God, everything I have is from you. I give 10% to acknowledge that everything I have, including myself, is yours. Amen. And when Jacob came to the point that he had made God his God, he made a public, clear declaration of that by giving 10%. And that is true. There's no other way to truly show that God is our God until we make sacrifices. We give offerings. We give of ourselves. So what are we going to take home tonight? What does Jacob's ladder mean to us? Are we to climb it? What is Jacob's ladder? Did you know there's an exercise machine, Jacob's ladder? Is that all Jacob's ladder is to you? How many's ever used one of these? No? How many remembers the things when some of us were young, the little blocks with the fabric strips, and you did all the... Those are Jacob's... Is that what Jacob's ladder is? What is Jacob's ladder? What should it be to us? What was God showing with that ladder, doing with that ladder? Listen, it's really very simple. Jacob's ladder is all about a connection or a link. With that ladder, God linked himself to Jacob. How many knows God has linked himself to us? Now, you may not buy that yet, but let me just do this. Jacob's ladder is our link, and here's what we're going to take home tonight. Jacob's ladder is the link between heaven and earth. Jacob, when he came out of that vision, that dream, he says, this place is the gateway to heaven. Now remember, he's standing there on earth. He's saying, right here is the gateway to heaven. What made that place the gateway to heaven? Jacob's ladder. It was the connection between heaven and earth. I want you to note about this connection, the angels are ascending and descending. That speaks volumes to us. The angels ascending means, since God has made a connection between heaven and earth, our prayers do get through to God. And the fact that the angels descended from that connection is a statement that God's blessings do get through to us. Aren't you glad the prayers get through to God and the blessings come to us? You say, I'm still not getting this. I still don't know why you're making a point of this, Pastor. Well, here's why. Because Jesus is the true Jacob's ladder. If I had time, I'd tell you the story about Nathanael's calling, but let me just tell you how it ends. Nathanael says, thou art the Son of God. And listen to what Jesus says in John 1:51. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What did Jesus just say to Nathanael? He said, I'm Jacob's ladder. What's he saying? Jesus says, is saying to Nathanael, I am your connection between earth and heaven. Aren't you glad Jesus, that's Jacob's ladder. You say, what are you talking about? We have no other access to the Father but by Jesus. We have no other access to the throne room of God but by Jesus. How many believes he's our connection between earth and heaven? Jacob's ladder is our connection between God and me, or God and you. Now notice, it wasn't just that there was a ladder between the two places with the angels ascending and descending. It's the fact that God stood above that ladder. Jacob's at the bottom, God's at the top, and the ladder's connecting not just heaven and earth. The ladder is connecting God and Jacob. What God was saying with that ladder is, Jacob, I have linked myself to you. You've done everything not to live right. You've been deceitful. You've been treacherous. You've been lying. But Jacob, I have linked myself to you. And where you go, I will go. Where you are, I will be. Amen. What's a tremendous truth. But through Jesus Christ, God has literally linked himself to us. We just had the message on Sunday morning. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you're but branches. Abide in me. Why? Because that vine is the link to the eternal life of God and who he is and our fellowship with God. Amen. Amen. Jesus said in John 14, at that day you shall know that I'm in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Jesus is the Jacob's ladder that links our lives with God's. And then Jacob's ladder is a matter, it's the link between God's promises in my life or your life. See, Isaac told Jacob that he had passed down to him Abraham's blessing. Now God shows up with Jacob's ladder and said, I am that God of Abraham, and your father is right because I intend to give you the blessing of Abraham. You see, it's this simple. Jacob's ladder is that which allows us to know that God's promises are for us too. That's what Jacob's ladder did for him. Abraham's promise is your promise, Jacob. And Jacob's ladder is that moment when God lets us know that his promises, all those promises, they're our promises. You are linked to the promises of God. Two more things very quickly to take home. Jacob's ladder is the link between where I am and where God wants to take me. God is saying, in effect, Jacob, you have a journey ahead of you from Haran, from Beersheba to Haran, and then back to this land of promise. And it's not just the geological ground you're going to cover. You've got a journey to take between the deceiver that you are and the prince that I want to make you. You're going to take that journey. But Jacob, I'm going to be with you on that journey. Not just the journey from Beersheba to Haran and back, but I'm going to be with you on that journey from Jacob the deceiver to Jacob the prince. How many knows there's the place, especially when we get saved, there's the place that we are, and there's the place that God wants to take us in his plan and desire. Well, Jacob's ladder is God's connection, saying, I'm going to be with you on that journey. I'm going to make sure you get from point A to point B, not geology, but in my plan for working in your life, of making you who I have plans for you. I'm going to be with you between A and B. And last of all tonight, Jacob's ladder is a connection between my present and my future. Jacob could have felt he had only his deceiving, conniving past and no future. I mean, he knows he's headed to his uncle's place. He knows he's supposed to find a bride, but I mean, he's out there in the desert. All he's got really is a past, and it's not pretty. He could have become despairing. Did you know one of the most, listen to me now, I'm about done, but this is so important. One of the most anguished places that the human soul can find itself, including Christians, the most anguished places is to come to a place that you're feeling like you have no future. Everything looks bad. Everything looks ugly. Everything looks like, and you just don't see any future. You don't see any hope. Haran was so far away. He had his father's blessing, but he was leaving the very inheritance that he was to receive. But what God did with that ladder, he said, yeah, Jacob, you do have a past, but you have a future too. This is what I'm going to do for you. I want to tell you tonight, if you'll trust God, he'll let you know that you do have a future. Jacob, you're going to have descendants. Jacob, you're going to have the promised land. Jacob, you're going to have the blessing. And Jacob, I'm going to make sure that you safely make that journey from your present to your future. Here's the truth. And listen, this is what I want to leave you tonight as the music comes. Whoever you are here, maybe you're not even saved yet. But whoever you are, and you have a future in God. There is a future for you in God. So let me tell you, however bad your past and however bleak your present, God already has made a way for you to get to the future where he has a promise of a reality of life that's his will, his plan, wonderful and hopeful. Aren't you glad for Jacob's ladder that connects our present to our future? You say, things don't look very well for me right now. There's a Jacob's ladder from this present to the future that he has for you. Well, could you stand tonight? I've got good news. You say, well, I could really use a Jacob's ladder awareness tonight experience. I got good news. You don't have to take a trip to Haran. You don't have to spend the night in the wilderness. You know, there's a place in this building that's one of the most wonderful places for a Jacob's ladder experience. God shot that ladder up, that staircase, whatever you want to imagine it was. He shot it up from Jacob's rock that was a pillow into the heavens. But there's a good place right here in this sanctuary. These steps we use as an altar. This is as good as Jacob's pillow for God to extend his ladder and make that link and make that connection. Amen. How many want to come and say, God, I want my ladder tonight. I want my staircase. Would you come and fill the altars? And if you don't even know the Lord, he's got a ladder for you. He knows how to make that connection through Christ between your soul and himself, between your ugly past and your bright future. Amen. God, talk to us tonight. Lord, let us see that you have linked yourself to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus, you've made the way. You are the way. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, may our prayers ascend, and may your blessing descend tonight upon your people, Lord. We seek you. We call out to you, Lord. We reach out to you. Hallelujah. There's a Jacob's ladder for you, or whatever your name is. There's a ladder for you tonight. God will link your soul to his, your life to his. Amen. He'll be with you on the journey, every step, every place. Amen. He'll be with you on the journey. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Maybe you want to set up a memorial tonight. God, you have blessed, you have spoken, you have helped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We seek you, Lord, tonight. We call upon you tonight, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Let the Holy Spirit make that connection between you and God real tonight. Amen. I'm not saying you'll have a vision, but you can sense in your heart that the connection is there. Hallelujah. Through Jesus our Lord.
I just need someone to talk to. to hear my prayer each time I talk to him. All my needs he will supply, my thirsty soul he satisfies. He's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. Every pain, he fills my deepest longing. Time and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's the Lord of all, and he's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He's all I need. I need not turn to any brother, than any brother. On this friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. He's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. He says every pain, he fills my deepest longing. Time and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. All I need.